Gospel Global, and it's just a great opportunity every year. We have 200 boxes, I believe, right outside the doors, so be sure to grab one on your way out, one or two on your way out, and participate in that. And thanks, Jake, for the introduction. I know a lot of you in here. I don't know everyone, but my family and I, we all moved here in July, and we've just really loved getting to be a part of City Light Church, and this is the first chance I get to actually open up God's Word and preach with you. So take your Bible, turn to Matthew 7. This actually isn't the first time I've preached to City Light Church. A couple years ago, when we had the old name, the old building, Matt and I traded places the Sunday after Thanksgiving. You know that week that the pastor's like ready to not preach a sermon? And so we just traded places, and I've done that a couple different times back in the past. But this is just so great to see what God is doing here in his church and how we've grown. And as you're turning with me to Matthew 7, I want to open up with a story to set this up. So a lot of you know my kids. I have Beckham is 12, Paxton's 10, Monroe's 7, Dawson's 3. They're running, they get around, they get to know people pretty well. But my three oldest kids all play soccer, and Paxton is 10. He plays for the Carolina Core Football Club. And I got a picture of him. He loves playing this game. He's played since he was 3 years old. He's the short little guy right there, like the shortest on his team, but he scored 5 goals in the last 4 games. This kid flies around the field, right? And we as a family love going to his games, cheering him on. It's a blast. And so last week, we were playing this team in Charlotte, all right? And it was an intense game. This other team scored a goal. We equalized. They scored another goal. We equalized. And then one of our players got fouled, made a free kick from right outside the box. We went up 3-2, and there's like 10 minutes to go. The parents, the fans, everybody's into it, on the edge of their... We're not even sitting at this point. We're all standing up, going crazy. And these are 10-year-old boys, but they're really, really good for 10-year-old boys. Paxton's getting good coaching. He's improved a lot. And as the course of this game was going on, you know, emotions are high. There was something that happened in this game that's not actually supposed to happen. If you've ever been a part of youth sports, you're supposed to have one set of parents on one half and the other set of parents on the other half. Y'all know what I mean? Anybody ever been to one of these games before? So we're cheering. One of the dads from Charlotte is just complaining and complaining about the referees. Every chance he gets, he's getting under my skin, and you know I'm having some comments with my 12-year-old. Like we're both. These are not professional referees, right? These are youth officials. Just like players in the field make mistakes, they make mistakes. It's going both ways. But this guy was not having it, and here we are. We're pressuring the net. Paxton's dribbling down the sideline. He comes and just gets tripped. They blow the whistle. It's a foul. All right, good. You know. But this dad over here, that's not a foul. He's yelling at the ref. And this is where I'm that soccer dad. And he's yelling about my kid. This guy's clearly wrong. And so I look over at him and I just say, you know, probably a little bit louder for not just him to hear, but for more than just him to hear. If you go for the ball, miss the ball, and kick their leg, it's a foul. And then he fires back, but that wasn't a foul. And I just repeated myself. If you go for the ball, miss the ball, kick their leg, it's a foul. And I said it probably even louder the second time. Not proud of that moment at all, but it shut him up. And my 12-year-old son is smiling from ear to ear. Yes, Dad just corrected somebody other than me. My wife, on the other hand, was not smiling ear to ear. She was embarrassed. She gave me a look. And again, in the moment, I said, well, somebody needs to teach people the rules. And he heard that. Other people heard that. And, you know, neither one of us had happy wives in that moment on the sideline. Pax's team ended up holding on. And that was that. I, you know, I said what I needed to say to my wife, figured out, like, all right, that probably wasn't the best way to handle that. And thankfully, we're teaching a sermon here on judging. So those of you who want to judge me right now, I'm just being transparent. This is, of any sermon to be real, this would be the one, right? But I'm saying that to prove this point. This is just to set this all up. We don't always follow the rules, even when we know the rules that we should be following. You know, like, that guy knows deep down I was right. He pays a lot of money to have his kid admitted in a soccer club. I'm pretty sure he knows what a foul is. But something about the atmosphere, the moment, right? Like, emotions are running high. He forgot the rules, and he let his perspective blur the lines, and he forgot what he really knew to be correct. We all do that at times, myself included. So today in Matthew 7, we're here. I'm going to bring your attention now off of my story to the text. And I'm calling this message, Know the Rules. This is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He's painting this picture, right? We've been seeing this all along in this series, of an upside-down kingdom. And this is where he's transitioning in Matthew 7 from our heart, our feelings, our emotions, how we should think. We've been seeing all of this laid out week after week. And now we're transitioning into our relationships with others, how we relate to each other. And if you remember, this is something Matt has been emphasizing every week. You know, he has a crowd of people, and there's four different types of people in every crowd. Just like there's four different types of people here today. There's the critics, there's the carefree, careless people who are just along for the ride. There's the consumers who want to get something out of this, and there's the committed. And in all four groups of these people Jesus is talking to, he's been specifically really just going after the religious, the performance, the hypocritical people. He's putting just a knife in the heart to that religious piety. But we're seeing how everyone is being challenged. And in chapter 7, as we continue this series, he's really just making a practical application to everyone. Because everyone, every single day, makes judgments. We can't live life without making judgment calls. And there's a right way to do it, and there's a wrong way to do it. And if you want to save yourself a lot of stress and heartache and strained relationships, you need to know the rules. So Jesus here in Matthew 7 gives us the three laws of judgment. And you need to know these rules. Judgment is a natural part of life, but this is how it always works. So let's go to the text. Follow along with me as I read Matthew 7, verses 1 through 6. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment that you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you used, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. So what do you think the first law of judgment is? We just read it. It's staring us in the face in black and white. The first law of judgment, the first rule that we have today is point number one, judge not, lest ye be judged. All right, that's it, right? That's a wrap. There's the sermon. I gave you a story. We could go home. Is it lunchtime? Is that all he's saying, or is there more here? Do you recall how we said, and I mentioned this already, we all make judgments every single day? See, this is where it gets confusing. A lot of people misunderstand this text, so you really need to lean in right here. You could say this is the world's favorite verse. I don't know if that's true for sure, but I hear a lot of people who don't follow Jesus quote this verse. Do not judge. You're judging me. Jesus said, don't judge, right? Have you ever heard somebody like repeat that just to get a free pass to do whatever they want to do? Well, that's true to a certain degree. He clearly does say there is a type of judgment here that Jesus is condemning. But just a few verses later in the same chapter, Matthew 7, verse 15, Jesus says, you will recognize them by their fruits. And in that portion of this message, he is warning people to be on the lookout for false prophets, people who come in sheep's clothing. And he says, by your fruits, you shall know them. How are you supposed to do that if you aren't making a judgment call, right? Throughout the Bible, we are told that we can't judge people's hearts, but we can recognize their fruit. Their actions require discernment. So we have numerous instances all throughout the New Testament where a Christian is commanded to observe actions and make a judgment call. So you always have to interpret Scripture with Scripture. And clearly, judge not lest you be judged doesn't mean you never make a judgment for the rest of your life. That's clearly not what he's saying. You know, people judge our coffee shop. We get reviews, right? When I go get pizza, we had pizza on Friday night. We judged the way that restaurant was. It was good, too. It was a high review for us. Mario's. We'll go there again. But I read people. You read people. Everyone you meet, you have a first impression. Some of you have already judged me after my soccer dad story, right? And some of you, you know, are thinking, I like that guy. Some of you may be thinking, I'm not so sure yet. But there's a lot of judgment out there, right? We've all faced it. And I could just say that again. There's way too much judgment out there. And Jesus doesn't like it. Ironically, many of the critics that Jesus is talking to right here in this text have the same spirit today. They almost live for judging others. There's people like that. Often in our context, the present context that we live in 2025, you see this with the keyboard warriors, right? Like online, you get cancel culture. All these people, you almost think they're making a living off of this. And actually, some of them do. But they go hard. How dare they say this? And I can't believe they had this conversation with this person. And there's so much criticism, so much judgment, you know, with adults and another adult. Sometimes it's Christians, sometimes it's the world. But it's everywhere. So this can't just mean in the simplest, dumbest down version that you should never judge anybody. It also doesn't mean I can do what I want, don't judge me. Because when you live life, you've probably experienced this. People who shout the loudest, don't judge me, are usually the same people that judge everyone else. Are you with me? Have you ever felt that? Have you ever seen that? I remember the first time I really noticed this. And I mean, I experienced it here and there growing up, but like 20 years ago, I'm dating myself a little bit with this story, but I was playing fantasy football, and there was a player who was an all-pro quarterback. Some of you may remember this name. Some of you are too young to remember this name, but his name was Michael Vick, all right? And he was awesome, but he got arrested and charged with a felony. He had a whole dogfighting ring. Anybody remember this story? He went to jail for almost 2 years, and he came back to the NFL, and people lost their mind. And I know people love dogs. Dogs are great. But it was like this guy was a mass murderer, and he could never re-enter society. He went to jail for 2 years. He apologized. And they still think this guy is so trashy, he can never throw a football again. And I was just like, wow, the world really doesn't want to forgive somebody. You know, I get that you love dogs, of course, but like just how harsh the reaction was with him. I had no problem picking him up for my fantasy football team again. I went right back. He scored a lot of points for me. I'm a Packer fan, but I still enjoyed Michael Vick. And thankfully, I think he got his life turned around, right? But that's the world we live in. It's very harsh. There's a lot of people who are ready to cast stones, and they don't even realize it. They don't. But we aren't supposed to judge as Christians. We know the world does judge. At the same time, we can't help but judge people by their fruits. Like, life requires that. So what does this all really mean? Well, let's look at it again. Look at the verse again. Judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. What this is really saying is that when you judge others, you are inviting judgment on yourself. You see that? Being judgy invites judgment. And I've been thinking about this all week. And I'll tell you what, it's not something to take lightly. You can spend some time thinking about this and praying about this week. You've probably been judged. We all have. And so you have to step back and think, wow, does that mean I judge? Is this passage saying I'm judging people too much? And that's between you and the Lord. Maybe. Maybe. I don't know your heart. But you need to take this truth that Jesus is laying out at face value. You need to internalize it, and you need to inspect your own heart. Like, do I get judged by people all the time? What is Jesus saying here? He says, the measure that you judge people with, you will be judged by that same measure. Okay, that's something to think about. Or it could also be saying, and maybe even at the same time, that when you take a stand for something, when you are forced to make a judgment call, what's going to happen? You're going to get an extra layer of scrutiny, right? You absolutely will. I used to be a lead pastor. I'm not a lead pastor anymore. I know how Matt, I know what Matt goes through. I know how it feels to be in those shoes. I mean, to be honest, Julie and I, we're here, we're in a great place right now, but like, we're still a little raw from facing judgment. You know, it takes time to heal from being judged sometimes. But part of being in a position of authority and leading something means that you have to have vision to foresee the problems. You also have to handle all the problems that happen anyway that are outside of your control. If you have a high responsibility, you have authority, you have a big, important position where you're leading people, you will be judged, okay? So just because you've been judged doesn't mean that you're a judging person. It could mean that, but it might also just mean that you're doing something. This is the way life works. When you do something hard, you do something great, you're also going to have people point fingers and not like that. Comes with the territory. Leading anything well is going to receive scrutiny. And that's putting it nicely. So I'm not here right now to make you feel guilty. I'm just trying to interpret the text. And this is a very misunderstood principle of Scripture, but the law that Jesus is laying out is layered. This is deep. And he's saying that the critics need to stop judging everyone. And hey, at the same time, the way you judge people, you will also be judged in return. And of course, when you do make judgment calls, you will also be inviting judgment upon yourself. Got all that? Here's a way to think about it. And this isn't a quote from the Bible. This is just me trying to apply it and put it in our own perspective here. Usually the people who see everything wrong in someone else's life see absolutely nothing wrong in their own life. And again, this isn't a scripture verse. This is just an observation I've made, okay? And maybe you've experienced something different, but this is often the way it works. The people who are the most judgmental never want to look at themselves. They never want to think about that. They're just so focused on other people's problems. But if you never make a judgment call on anyone, and you never stand for anything, you're not doing anything either. Do you hear that? Casual, carefree people in the crowd? Because I know you're there. The careless people don't even take a stand. And if you're never ruffling anybody's feathers ever, well, you're probably not really doing anything worthwhile. If you think you're more noble because you never ruffle feathers, it's probably because you don't care enough to do something worth doing. The last way I want to just illustrate this is by making this simple observation. The director of the FBI, right? He gets more scrutiny than the DoorDash guy. See where we're going with this? Why? Well, because he's making judgment calls all the time. He has a very important position. DoorDash guy doesn't. He's just delivering food. And, you know, I could judge the director of the FBI, Kash Patel, right now by making a joke about his job performance, but I'm not going to do that. But doesn't it prove my point that the higher your position, the louder you are, the more criticism you're going to receive? And it just so happens our current director of the FBI was very vocal during the last administration. He was pointing fingers. He was calling out names. He was making a big deal. He was talking a lot. So what happens? Well, he has a really big microscope on him. You see that? That's just how this works. And, you know, I said I wouldn't make a joke, but I've heard comedians talk about, like, I mean, who could you trust to settle your DoorDash dispute? The director of the FBI? Can he even do that? Like, this is where we're at, where people are so upset at the director of the FBI. And one of the reasons is because he has an important job. And the other reason is because he's talked a lot and he's made a lot of promises. But that's just an illustration for you to see how this works in real life. We will be judged with the measure that we judge others. And to a certain degree, we will all be judged. If no one ever gets upset at you, it's probably not a good thing. But here's what Jesus is also saying. And this is where we're going to transition to our next point. The way you judge and the degree that you judge, you will receive it in return. That's verse 2. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. All right, so that was spicy. Jesus is already hitting us hard. There's a lot here to have, you know, to think through, to have some internal introspection on. And you can think right here, as you're doing that, well, am I always mad at someone else? Am I always getting worked up? Am I always focused on the worst side of my wife, the worst side of my husband, the worst aspect of my coworker, the most annoying thing about my classmates or my brother or my, I mean, right? We could go on. There's a lot of people that can get it under our skin that we can judge. Or do you show grace? Do you let love cover it? Do you treat them the way you want to be treated? That's how Jesus teaches us to live. Judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That's the first law of judgment. Here's the second law. Number 2, always search your own heart first. Look at verses 3-5 again. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take out the log of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. All right, so remember judgment. It's not if you do it, it's when you do it. Life requires you to make judgments. You can't live life without making judgments. It's impossible. You are going to be judged the same way that you judge others. And here's the rule in verse 3. Search your own heart first. So who is he talking to here in the crowd? Is it the consumer who listens to the gossip, perpetuates the rumors, listens to all the bad things that other people say about someone else? Or is it the critics who are vocal and nasty and casting stones and never put themselves in other people's shoes? Or is it the committed followers of Jesus who want to do the right thing and shine light and point others to Jesus and lovingly correct someone and steer them away from that destructive path, who's he talking to? The answer is all of us, again. This is an application for every single one of us. Before you judge others, search your own heart. And none of us are Christ. We all have problems. We are all, to a certain degree, unfit judges, which is why it's not our job to correct everyone. God is the ultimate judge, and there are times when we have to just let it go and trust God and let him handle it. We have to give it over to him. There are times when we have to do that. So think through, all right, do I actually search my own heart? If you do that, you will avoid making the wrong kind of judgments. And I'll tell you the people who don't do this, it's the spiritually prideful people. Spiritually prideful people don't stop and consider what they've done, the mistakes that they've made in the past. They don't think about grace. And I mean, from one Christian to another Christian here, we're talking about judgment. Is there anything much worse than a spiritually prideful Christian who's judgy? I mean, how much destruction can Christians make when they don't follow what Jesus is saying here? And they just start judging other Christians. It's terrible. It's one of the worst things you can possibly experience. The world is judgmental and hypocritical. We know that. That's to be expected. But it's worse when Christians get on their high horse and they start criticizing every single decision that was made that they think they would have done differently. It's so bad. So we all have to watch our spirit on this. Before you ever approach someone, try to think through the context. Maybe, all right, why were they doing that? You know, what was their goal maybe? You can't judge their heart, right? But try to put yourself in their shoes. That's going to help you decide whether or not you even need to say anything. And if you do still think you need to say something, it'll help you with your tone. It'll help you approach them in a much better way. And I've talked to a lot of people about this point over the years, and it's something that I have to remind myself of a lot. But it's this. I am so thankful that God is way more gracious than me and anyone else I know. Ever think about that? God is way more gracious than you are. He's way more gracious than the person that we're dealing with. That's our God. And he calls us to be like him, all right? He's going to make everything right one day. He's the ultimate judge. We're not. Thank you, Lord. I mean, this is something I pray. Thank you, Lord, for not treating me the way, you know, that I treat people that I don't like sometimes. When we were enemies of God, he came after us. He gave us grace. He gave us mercy. And maybe you're running away from Jesus right now. You're ignoring Jesus in your life right now. And you are selfishly living for your own desires, your own dream, and you're ignoring the glory of God, and you're just forgetting the path that he has for you and the plan that he has for you. And here you are in church in God's house, and the Holy Spirit is chasing you right now. Be open to that. What is he saying to you right now? Maybe you look good on the surface and you're doing the right things and you're saying the right things, but deep down, everyone else around you is just making your blood boil. And even though most people don't know it, your family feels it. They feel the angst because it boils over in the home. I don't know. I don't know your heart. I can't read it. All we can do is observe actions. By your fruit you shall know them. But you have to examine your own heart here. So I could talk a lot more about how wrong it is to judge other Christians right here. I think we get that though, right? Don't we understand that point? to be hypocritical, to be self-righteous, to be like a Pharisee, to point fingers, to be condemning, critical. Jesus says, take the log out of your own eye before you point out the splinter in someone else's eye. Paul says the same thing in the book of Romans. He succinctly puts it this way, let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore. So I think it's safe to say, we're reading this text, we're going through it. When we talk about judgment, stop being critical. Cut that out of your life. It has no part of your Christian walk with others. And this is what Jesus is saying in Matthew 7. You should be much less concerned about what other people are doing than you should be concerned about your own sin. A lot of issues would be resolved if we as Christians just focused on, hey, how can I be better? How can I walk with Jesus? How can I show love? How can I fix my mess? Rather than trying to fix everybody else and constantly obsessing over everything else that is going on around me that's not right. Because that can drive you crazy if you haven't figured that out yet. Think about how much more productive the body of Christ could be shining the light of Jesus Christ in this community if we stopped focusing so much on what everyone else is doing wrong and we just focused on our own heart. That's what Jesus is saying right here in Matthew 7. Other people are going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. And if you never want to be honest with yourself and take accountability for your own sin, well, then you are the person right here that Jesus calls a hypocrite. And that those are his words, not mine. So that's law two. Before you judge others, judge yourself. Are y'all with me on this? Nod your heads if you're following along. Are these rules making sense? They're straight from Matthew 7. So to review, we've seen how to judge and how not to judge. When we judge, we should do it carefully, verses 1 and 2. We should do it humbly, verses 3 through 5. There's a place for that. That's a natural part of life. And what's even more obvious in the text is how not to judge, right? Hypercritically, no, don't do it that way. And we should never be judging self-righteously, verses 3 through 5. Now, there's one more rule here, and it may surprise you, and I wanna build this up because this one is probably surprising to most of us. I wanna remind you here that everything Jesus is teaching so far is countercultural. That's been this whole series, the Upside Down Kingdom. It was countercultural 2,000 years ago. It's countercultural today because of the inherent sinfulness of the human heart that doesn't change. Only by the work of Jesus Christ does it change. But humans are always the same. So what Jesus is saying to this crowd is the same message for us today. But have you ever heard the phrase, he judges indiscriminately? Anybody ever heard that? Raise your hand. Hopefully. We hear that a lot. Like, that's a good thing, right? Like, oh, they're judging indiscriminately. That, like, in our society, we value that. That's a good thing, right? And where does that come from? Where does that idea come from? It comes from the character of God. God is not a respecter of persons, as the Word of God says, meaning he doesn't treat one class of people better than others. This is where we get the concept, you know, Christians understand racism is wrong. It's because it falls under the category of the sin of partiality, where you are more partial to one person than you are to another person because of their skin color or because of their background or because of their family or what their parents did. I'm going to treat this person differently. No, God does not operate that way. He judges everyone based on their own actions, not the actions of their parents. So racism, even though the world is very against racism, the world it completely misses it on partiality. And racism just falls under the umbrella of partiality. And the world is very judgy and very partial. Okay? They got that one piece correct, but they're missing it on the rest. But we understand by the character of God that he judges indiscriminately. But what we have here, and I'm really drawing this out because I want you to see this. It's overlooked. This is the third rule. Don't judge hypercritically, self-righteously, indiscriminately. Do judge carefully, humbly, and discriminately. Did I lose anybody on that? Whoa, did I get your attention? Look at the verse again. Look at verse 6. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Yes, in most of life, we should be indiscriminate, of course. Of course. I'm not taking away all the character of God and the way he tells us to glorify him and live like him. Yes. But here we are in one of the rules of judgment. In the last one, verse 6, is point 3. Don't cast your pearls before swine. How can we do that if we already had point 2 where we had to judge ourselves? Point 3 is, yeah, judge that person before you even say anything. You need to look and you need to think, is this person even going to listen? Does this person even want to hear what I have to say? Maybe they do, maybe they don't. Have you ever heard the phrase, don't cast your pearls before swine? That's the old King James version of this verse that we just read. Throwing pearls at pigs. Spiritually speaking, there are people who are pigs out there. They don't have a good appetite. They don't care. They live in filth. And if you give them a pearl of wisdom, what are they going to do with it? Just going to stomp all over it. Just trample it underfoot. They are not going to listen to what you have to say. As a matter of fact, they'll turn on you and they'll attack you. Maybe you've had this happen to you before. So I know this passage is wild. Jesus is shaking it up here in Matthew 7. And I drew this out to really emphasize it for you. Because a lot of Christians don't even think about this. I mean, we do at times, but when we don't think about this, we get ourselves into trouble. And we can get our head bitten off. If you try to talk to someone who's not ready to receive it. So you have to pray through that, right? Maybe just prayer is all you can do. Maybe you can plant a seed. Maybe it needs to be somebody else and not even you that goes to that person if that person is in a very destructive place and going the wrong way. But before you even go to them, you do need to judge their receptiveness. Yes, you need to remember that the measure you use will be used on you. You need to check your own heart, your own motives before you ever even approach someone. So we're thinking about our tone, we're thinking about the time, we're thinking about the place. Married people can nod their head with me on that one, right? You know, like when we're ready to make a judgment, like let's think about the tone, the time. I mean, that goes for anyone, not just married people. But here's the last point, don't waste your time addressing things with people who are just going to bite your head off and have no desire to hear it. Don't give to dogs what is holy. And these are very visual illustrations. We already talked about dogs earlier. I mean, you don't have to give a dog steak, right? Dogs still eat anything. I love dogs. Maybe if you really love your dog, maybe they can tell that you're making a big sacrifice for them because you're really making it a big deal. I think dogs are smart enough to figure that out. But at the same time, you could give the dog a piece of, you know, burnt chicken fried steak and he's going to love it just as much as the filet mignon. He really is. Like, you don't have to go out of your way to give the dog the best choice cut of meat. They're just not going to appreciate it. You know, even more ridiculously, you don't give pearls to pigs. We've talked about this. Just going to take it for granted. They're going to stomp on it. There are people who will trample the truth and turn and attack you. And I heard this line this week, and it struck me because I felt it before, and you may have as well, but it fits right here. This is another applicational quote that I have for you. Nobody is going to hate you more than somebody who is faking something that you naturally embody. Just think about that. There are people who are nasty, who will attack you. And you know what? There are times when those people really don't like you because you have joy. Maybe you have a passion about something, and they're faking it. They don't have that. And they're a bitter person, they're a nasty person with a dark heart, they don't know Jesus. We have to show grace, right? And we have to remember, they're judging me, but it's not because of me, it's because of their own problem. Hurt people hurt people, and they're nasty. Maybe I didn't even do anything wrong. Maybe you did, maybe you are judgy. That's, again, this is where you take this to the Lord. But many times as well, people are just gonna dislike you because you love Jesus. That happens too. And you stand for truth and you get judged. But here's the crux of this entire passage. You are not God. He is the ultimate judge. He's the ultimate judge, not me. And the more we remember that and believe that rule, the more we can actually live out the right way to interact with others. Let go of your critical spirit. Stop judging people so much, because there's only one person who sees the heart, and that's the Lord. And he's the only one who knows the full story. We don't. So when you pick your spots, great, go for it. Prayerfully, after you've inspected your own heart, and then just leave it up to the Lord. Give it to God. He is the perfect judge. Worship team, you can come up. And in closing, I just want to ask you two more things. I want you to think about how closely you're following these rules of judgment. We just saw all three rules. So right now, don't think about anyone else. Because if you have a brother or a sister or a roommate or a classmate or whoever it is, like, you have people who've judged you wrongly. I don't want you to think about any of those other people. Put them all out of your mind and just think about yourself. How am I doing on Jesus's three rules of judgment? Are you following these rules? How are you treating people? And I also, number two, want you to think about, how has God treated you? Think about that. All right, this is how other people have treated me. This is how I've treated people. How has God treated you? He is a good father. He is the father that runs to the prodigal. He's the one who sent his one and only son, who went after the lost sheep, left the 99 and went after the one. He sent his son Jesus to die for your sin on the cross. Sacrificed his son to save you. If we repent of our sin and turn and believe in Jesus, you can receive life, eternal life through Christ. When you were an enemy of God, he loved you and he went after you. So as a Christian, I'm talking to the committed now, how can you become a less judgmental person? How do you do that? There's only one way to become less judgy, and it's to think about how much God loves you. Think about the grace and the mercy of God, what he has done for you. And the more you think about his grace, his mercy, and the more you're filled with that, you'll become less judgmental, and you'll become more gracious. And you'll start loving other people more and more. You'll grow past the tireless, stressful game of judgment, and you'll focus on what God has done through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Stand up with me, church. We're going to close in song right here. But I want you to just take a moment before you join. I want you to think about how John 1 says that Jesus was full of grace upon grace. That's what we need more of. We need less judgment and we need more grace, and we get it from Jesus. So talk to him. Give some introspection to where you're at and just praise God for who he is and what he's done for you. And when you're ready, join us in song.